How many of these have your name on it? In other words, how responsible are you for this ties that were used to hold Jesus to the cross? You weren't there, you say. But you were there. Not physically, but all your sins were there. With each blow of the hammer, your sins present. What a week, as we've said before. All weeks are important, but this week, the most important. Because of today, the significance of it. What Jesus did so many years ago for you. Did he have to do it? In a way, yes. Because there was no other way. And why did he do it? Not just because there was no other way, but because of his great love for you. And so as you reflect on what Jesus has done for you and why he was up there on that cross, may God bless your reflection and lead you to a deeper appreciation of what Jesus has done for you and why, and then what he expects of you in return. A show of love, of gratefulness, motivated by his great love for you. I invite your attention to the invocation on page 3 of our worship bulletin. Lord, your mercies. I accidentally grabbed the wrong one. What about his mercies? They're new every morning, even when you grab the wrong bulletin. Heavenly Father,
we thank you for keeping your promise.
Son of God and Son of Man,
we thank you for giving up your life in our place.
Holy Spirit,
we thank you for working and confirming in us the salvation Jesus Christ came for all through the cross.
Behold the Lamb of God.
Let us worship him.
Oh,
We confess our sins.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me, according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen. Thanks be to God for his mercy and love.
A reading from Holy Scripture, the prophet Isaiah, prophecy fulfilled. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem.
Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
A reading from Holy Scripture, the book of Hebrews. Jesus can relate. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin.
Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. The word of the Lord.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. John. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one in each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked the sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips.
When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The word of the Lord. God have mercy on us.
Dear friends, what are you thankful for that is yours, even though you know you are not deserving of it? God's peace is yours in great abundance, and this is clearly evident through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is crucified in our place. It happens every day. It does not play favorites. It does not go by age. It comes quickly for some, while for others it can be drawn out and agonizing. Some are deathly afraid of it, while others should be more afraid of it or concerned about it than they seem to be. For some, it will lead to something worse. For others, it will lead to something far better, glorious, beautiful, and engaging. Death is the it. And it will impact each and every one of us in one way or another. The only escape from death is if Jesus returns in the flesh first as promised. But even that will not help those who do not confess Him as Lord and Savior and spare them from what has been prepared for those who do not believe in Him, as well as prepared for the devil and all the angels who rebelled with Him. Good Friday, then, is not just a day to reflect on the death of Jesus. That's primo. But it's also an opportunity to reflect on our own death, to think about it. Now, again, only the Lord knows when that is going to happen and how that is going to happen. The death of Jesus and all that comes with it, then, as we reflect on His death and then our pending death, it gives us confidence in this life, as we know for certain that our life will one day come to an end, but it will not really be the end. But just the fact that our life here on earth will come to an end, that can be a disconcerting thought to many people. But it doesn't have to be, does it? And that's what we are reminded of on this Good Friday once again, that Jesus enables us to live free even from the fear of death. We hear from the book of Hebrews, since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity, so that by His death He might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Now, living free in Jesus, this is not something that we want to take for granted while we are living on this side of heaven. But let's face it, we're faced with death all day long, aren't we? It might be our own death as we get a diagnosis that our time seems to be short. I mean, we all know it, really, deep down, we know that we're going to die. But when we get that diagnosis, it's right there in front of us. We're surrounded by the death of loved ones and friends. We cannot escape the news of death all around us. Another tragic and senseless death taking place in our area yesterday, making big headlines. I mean, death happens every day, in every place, in different ways. There's no escaping it. Even when we don't hear about it, it's still taking place. And the more our world removes itself from the Word of God, well, we continue to see the harsh reminders keep on coming. The harsh reminders that we do not live in a world that is right. Sin is at the heart of death. I mean, if there wasn't sin, would there be death? God did not create Adam and Eve to die. He gave them a simple command, really. And he even gave them the ability to carry out. He did not create robots, but he gave them the ability to choose to serve him, or they could be tempted to go against him. And he said, just follow this simple command and you will live. Don't eat of the fruit of a particular tree. For if you eat of it, you will surely die. Well, most of us, if not all of us here, know how that account goes. Satan, an angel of rank, rebelled against God, the Creator, cast out from God's presence, frustrated, could not take out the Creator. What did he expect? Goes after God's prized creation. And even though they knew better, we know what happened. Eve and Adam fell for Satan's faulty logic, and they took a bite. And sure enough, as God indicated what would happen, their eyes were open to good and evil. And decay and death entered the world. We can't escape it. Death is not natural. That's why we have a fear of it. That's why we don't like it. But behind death is sin. The wages of sin is death. Really, three types of death, right? Physical death has come into the world. Body and soul separate. Spiritual death, we're not one with God when we are conceived and come out of the womb. We're hostile to God. And then eternal death. If not corrected, we remain eternally separated from Him. The wages of sin is death. And what do we see, even though we know this, taking place day in and day out? What are we even ourselves guilty of in our thoughts and in our words and our actions day in and day out? Sin. You know, the book of James reminds us, whoever is guilty of breaking the law in just one place is guilty of breaking all of it. I mean, we like to think that, you know, we're really not so bad. But when we look at the law of God in the mirror of His law, we cannot help but admit that, no, we are deserving of death. Is there any hope? Well, we human beings, we like to think there is hope. And where do we turn to for hope? To ourselves. You know, we're going to bargain with God. And we're going to say, God, you know, I know you said that in James, but I don't think you really meant it. You know, when I was 10, I did a good deed. I let somebody ride my bike. I didn't have to do that, but I did. So I should get credit for that. Isn't that enough? Well, you want more? You know what? I gave the meatballs I didn't like to my brother Joe. Yeah, doesn't that count? But we can't bargain with God. I mean, in our mind, we think we can, but the reality is we can't. Sin, all sin, thought, word, and deed, our sin is deserving of death. So is there hope? That's why today is called Good Friday. Because there is hope, not in us, but in the one God sent for us. The Lamb of Lambs, Jesus, the Son of God and Son of Man, who took on human flesh to be our substitute on the cross, to die what we should have died, who took upon all our sins, the sins of the entire world upon himself, so that we could be reconciled with God now while living here on this earth and forever in heaven. Why would he do that? Love. Unconditional love. From God the Father, from God the Son, from God the Holy Spirit. I mean, again, what separates the love of God clearly from the love of so many other so-called belief systems that exist in our world? At the heart of those other belief systems is what? A work righteousness. Something that you have to do. You sacrifice your son and your daughter. And then perhaps you will get right with a holy God if you believe that he exists. But God, the true God, the creator of this world, sacrificed his son for us so that we would not have to sacrifice or be sacrificed. What a gift. And that Jesus then was willing to go along with it. Sure, Father, I will take on human flesh. Sure, Father, I will live a perfect life so that it can be credited to those human beings who rebel against you. Sure, Father, I will die the death they deserve to die. If there's another way, Father, let it happen. But he knew there wasn't. How often do you contemplate what Jesus endured leading up to the cross and on the cross? I mean, who in their right mind would allow themselves to be arrested, to be subject to an unfair trial, to be spit upon, to be mocked, to be ridiculed, to be beaten bloody, to be forced to carry a heavy piece of wood that's going to be used to hold you up off the ground so you suffocate. Then have these large nails driven into your skin. Mock some more, pierced. Well, Jesus was in his right mind for you, because there was no other way. Because he knew it was only through his innocent, perfect, shed blood that sin could be rightly atoned for once and for all. It wasn't all the sacrifices in the Old Testament that paid for sin. They foreshadowed the payment of the Lamb of Lambs. It wasn't an easy road, but it was necessary. Necessary so that we could be assured of absolute forgiveness before God our Father and not live in the guilt of our sins. And with then that forgiveness of sins comes a new attitude toward life of not looking how to please self, but rather how to please the God of the universe, the God who has given us this salvation, the God who has the solution to the problems of this world. And also the God that has removed the fear of death. Because death doesn't win. Jesus has won. It truly is a good Friday because of what we have received by God's grace through his Son Jesus and his willingness to go to the cross for us, so that we could live our lives in freedom. And so each time then we get tangled up in our sin and we get tangled up in our guilt and we get caught up in the fear of death, what does the Holy Spirit remind us to do? Look back to the cross and learn how once again to live free from sin in the forgiveness that he has won for you to live free by following His perfect will for you, to live free knowing what is waiting for you. Death is not really a death sentence, it's a life sentence. Now, that doesn't mean we're happy when we receive a diagnosis that makes death imminent, at least according to we human beings. We're not happy when loved ones and friends pass away. We're not happy when we hear about senseless shootings that take place and people die. And yet the Lord reminds us we need to be prepared for it, and we can be. Instead of living in constant fear, we are able to live free, knowing when it does happen, we win. Because Jesus has won, and we who believe in Him win. The cross that was meant to get rid of Him was really the cross that has enabled us to be set free from our sins and the fears that come with it. This then is news to live each day with. Oh, how He loves you. Again, when you ever doubt it, where do you look? The cross. His cross. Live free under that cross. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join together in a confession of faith, a statement towards the bottom of page 6.
I believe in Jesus Christ, who was crucified, died, and was buried.
We pray. Heavenly Father, you are a just God who accepts nothing less than perfection. All too often we fail to realize how much our sins offend you. We forget that the wages of sin truly is death. We forget that there actually is a hell. Lead us to recognize the seriousness of our sinfulness. Lead us also to admit our inability to make things right with you.
Teach us to look to you as the only one who can make us just and right.
Today we are reminded not only of your justice, but also of your love. You did not spare your own Son, but gave him as a ransom for each one of us. Comfort us with the knowledge of this great love. Give us the peace that the forgiveness of sins brings.
When we feel our guilt, point us to the cross, where our guilt was washed away in Jesus' blood.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for paying the debt that we could not pay. We thank you for coming to earth so that we could be with you forever in heaven.
For being our perfect substitute, we thank you.
Son of God, you offered up your body as an unblemished sacrifice for sin and commended your spirit into the hands of your Father. Teach us to cast the cares of this brief life on our Heavenly Father and commit our bodies and souls to his love.
Give us the courage to face death, knowing that it is the gate to our home in heaven.
The cross was once an instrument of death. It is now a sign of life. And we also pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.